Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to the Liberty Report. With me today is Daniel McAdams. Daniel, good to see you.
Happy Monday, Dr. Paul.
Very good. Guess what? I'd like to talk about foreign policy.
No.
And very important issue. And the way we see it right now is that there's a significant change in the wind that might come, announced, at least discussed a bit by the president, that he doesn't want to slow things up. He wants to speed things up. He wants more efficiency in the military. And he doesn't want them burdened down by always coming to the president to get explicit information and plans. He would like to deliver more authority to the generals so that they can move and act, at a moment's notice. And when Spicer was announcing this and talking about it the other day, he tried to cover himself by saying, yeah, but that doesn't change things. The president still will know what's going on. But the truth is, it would change things. It would change things where there would be more leeway for our generals to make these decisions. And in this day and age, when people can't even figure out who is whom, in these battles, to me it seemed rather risky, philosophically as well as in a practical sense. So this, I think, is something a little bit new. I don't know how often a president has proposed this, but it concerns me a bit.
Yeah, and I think what it is an escalation in scope and pace. We talked about the escalation in scope in our show last week, the addition of troops. I think this would be an escalation in pace, increasing the pace. And essentially, from what I understand, it's a reversal of instructions that President Obama gave in 2013 when they recognized, this will be interesting to you, they essentially recognized the problems of blowback. The widespread application of drone strikes was, as the New York Times puts it, driving terrorist recruitments because of civilian casualties. They're creating more terrorists than they were stopping. And so President Obama added an additional layer of review to areas that weren't combat zones. And it appears, at least from what we see in press reporting, that the Trump administration plans to remove those or alter those in a way that would give the Pentagon more power.
You know, it seems like they haven't had a lot of real problems getting these decisions made when you think about how many drone strikes the president, our current president, has used against Yemen. You know, multiple more than Obama ever did. So it's I want to slow things down. I don't want to speed things up. But I think what... one thing that concerns me about this is the potential conflict among the agencies. And already we hear discussions, who is the CIA? Are they angels? And who are they spying on? And this sort of thing. But we do know the CIA is very much involved in foreign affairs. Of course, they shouldn't be. That, I think, is very improper. Because they do everything in secret, in coordinating the CIA overthrow of governments and coups and in charge of launching many drone missiles, along with the military going in. It seems like there could be some conflicts in keeping up. Unless they're reporting to and directions from a central location, the more likely is that there could be some conflict. And I think that is what they're going to have to contend with, because the messier these situations get, the more likelihood there could be a false flag or an accident. And I think that expanding the control locally is something that they should be concerned about. One spokesman said that they could go after ISIS, but they want the flexibility. Well, ISIS, of course, there's how much difference is there? ISIS over there, you're permitted to go in there and fight. But if Al-Qaeda is over here, you can leave here and go over there. I mean, that sort of thing. All of a sudden, they don't have to be, stick to the rules, that they have this opportunity to change their opinion and their strategy. Some people might respond and say, hey, well, that's a great idea, because they need this flexibility. But for some reason, I think it's not the right way to go, especially on the conditions that we go to war on. I mean, that's what really bothers me.
Well, the threat of muddling things up, I think, is a perfect point you make, because you remember it was just a few months ago on the show that we did, we mentioned how the CIA troops, sponsored troops, were at war with the Pentagon-sponsored troops. So when there's more U.S. troops on the ground, you can imagine CIA-backed troops even firing on it's not funny, but firing on Americans on the ground there. So this could be a huge problem, I think.
Yeah, and Spicer said something about this was a change in philosophy, but not on strategy, something along those lines. And it seems to me like strategy and the way we go to war and the way we fight war and the mixture we have, yes, there's a little bit of change, but from what they're telling us, the strategy is just to speed things up and give more flexibility and more power to the military. Already, we see an administration that seems to be overloaded with military experts. And I think long-term, this is a challenge to the whole principle that we have bragged about from the time our country was started, was our militaries is under control of the civilians. But there was one expression that the reason we don't want to do this is there are some 20-year-olds back at the Pentagon, and they would get to review this and maybe help make a major decision. And what do they know? The generals are the ones that know. They're in the field. And if I can see why somebody's going to argue with us and say, well, you're arguing against practicality. Well, a lot of times big government sounds practical. You know,
yeah.
Bernie Sanders thinks he's practical on how he delivers health care and this sort of thing. But I think this whole idea of too much power to the generals and less responsibility for the civilians. Even Trump says that if the generals mess up, he's going to hold them accountable. That's a little bit different than the tradition of presidents. And traditionally, you know, they wanted to emphasize that I'm in charge and I'm going to be responsible. Even though they might have been, you know, the military overreacting, the president just wanted to establish his principle that they were really in charge of the policy and not the generals.
And, you know, the generals that he has as his experts now are the generals who essentially their strategy failed in Iraq. Mm-hmm. They were the proponents of the counterinsurgency strategy, which failed. They were the proponents of the surge, which ultimately failed. They're failed policies, so you wonder about their expertise. But I would almost say that the military is at a bit of a disadvantage. We could be almost sympathetic because a military's job, as we talked about before the show, was to fight and win wars. But there are no strategic guidelines for the military. There's no sense of the end game. There's no sense of what it means to win this. It's just go out and win it. So how can you construct a strategy to do this without knowing what the philosophy
is?
Yeah,
and this was an argument made when they talked about the military ought to be on our borders. And others argue, well, no, it should be civilians dealing with the borders because the military is trained to fight wars and win wars, and that is it at the directions of the civilians. So it is completely different. But, you know, just recently we sent troops to Syria that we mentioned the other day, a significant event. We haven't heard the end of it, except we heard over the weekend that the president of that country, as bad or as good as he is, you know, he's still the president. They're still sovereign. He's still a sovereign nation, theoretically, at least. He has a pretty decent ally, and that's the Russians.
Yeah.
And the Iranians sort of like what Assad's doing. So he represents the government. But he reacted pretty strongly to this. He says, you sending troops in here, that if we didn't invite you, that is an invasion. So how might this new rule pan out? So, you know, somebody starts a little skirmish on purpose or an accident or, you know, and stir up trouble. How will the generals react immediately? Do you that it sort of invites more conflict? And that's why having more authority to the generals without, you know, considerations, diplomatically speaking, that this could escalate rather rapidly, you know, in Syria. Although right now, if we would just stay out of it, it would de-escalate because ISIS is on the run. So we'll have to see.
Isn't it funny that statement of Assad's was controversial? Because that's like saying the sky is blue. If you come into our country with a military and you're not invited, that's an invasion. Well, by definition. What else is funny is look how the U.S. has had a complete total meltdown over the unproven, unsubstantiated rumors that Russia somehow did something funny with our elections, and we're having a nervous breakdown. But here it's fine to go ahead and put our troops in another country that didn't invite us, where we're not wanted. That's okay.
Well, I think the biggest issue here is the confusion that already exists and is going to get a lot worse because we have special forces, we have the military, we have the Pentagon, we have the CIA, we have the theoretical civilian leadership. And I really, in a way, fear for Trump because if you have looked at the CIA over many decades, the CIA is not exactly responsive to our president. It's probably very difficult to get complete control of the CIA. And these recent WikiLeaks releases, I mean, on what the CIA can and have done. I mean, it is a really big deal. And once again, that's going to confuse things even more when we see this shift of authority to the generals directly in the field.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's the whole issue with the new rules of engagement, with the change in strategy. You know, it sounds like the same old strategy. As a matter of fact, we mentioned on Thursday that Trump is keeping the person that Obama had in charge of this coalition in Syria, you know. So it looks like change, but there really is not much.
Yeah,
change.
I think when Trump was talking about a philosophic change and a technical change, he got me confused on what is philosophic. I think change in foreign policy from non-intervention or from intervention to non-intervention or vice versa, or imperialism versus anti-imperialism, that's a philosophic change. And fighting wars for defensive purposes and not offensive. And that's why, you know, I highly resent the fact that when they talk about funding for the military-industrial complex is done by the Department of Defense. Yeah. And, you know, more money for defense. Everybody's for defense, so you can't have anybody come up short, even if the money is being wasted in subsidizing building weapons we don't need. So that to me is a real problem in thinking philosophically. And it's not like most Americans haven't been or should have been introduced to these ideas, because I think the founders sort of talked about those kind of things. And they said, look, we don't want you printing money, but we don't want you going to war at will. And once again, you know, presidents have gone to war at will. I mean, even the troops sending to Syria, technically that is an act of war.
Sure.
But American people haven't been outraged about that, you know. Well, it's to make me safe. the Al-Qaeda is coming. ISIS is coming. There's an Islamic State they're going to take over. And yet, statistically, they have no evidence that we're on the verge of being taken over. The only thing that we have contributed to is the wars that we have created. We have contributed significantly to migration of a lot of desperate people, which has also made it easier for people to come here who might not like us anymore. But Europe is in shambles because of the wars in the Middle East, and most of those nations, we coerce them into supporting our position. And now, if you don't support mass migration from areas like that, then you're some type of evil person that if you want to protect your own country.
Yeah, exactly. You know, there's absolutely no way you could stretch the 2001 authorization for the use of force to include a U.S. invasion of Syria. You know, there's just absolutely nothing, but there's no talk at all in Washington about it. But, you know, we talked about, I was going to do kind of a takeaway point, because we talked about putting the military actions before any sense of what comes next. And there's actually a quote that I would read as my sort of closing to make the point. This is from the Wall Street Journal recently. A central unresolved question is who the U.S. should work with to push Islamic State out of Raqqa. Some U.S. officials are pressing the White House to reevaluate America's close military ties with the Kurdish fighters in Syria as a way to assuage Mr. Erdogan. Others want the U.S. to work with Kurdish forces to take Raqqa, but then considering handing control of the city over to a local council sympathetic to the Syrian regime and its Russian backers. Quote, there's not anything near an agreement or a plan, end quote, said a senior U.S. military official. It's up to the White House. So action first, plan later.
Yeah, a little bit of bluntness there, but it probably won't wake up too many people. But that's our job on this program, trying to wake people up to what is happening, the dangerous things that are happening, and even when they're in the early stages, to try to tip people off about the changes proposed. And in this case, it's the changes of giving military commanders a lot more authority. And of course, if anything goes wrong, blame the authority. This sort of reminds me about when we were voting on the authority to go to war in Iraq. Everybody was for it, and when I mentioned the fact that Congress should either vote for war or against it, oh no, they didn't want to. Behind the scenes, that were saying, you know, if it goes badly, we're going to blame the president. And now the president says, well, if it goes badly, we can blame the generals because they have the authority to make these decisions. So I think overall, as Daniel points out, it's philosophy and the foreign policy is key to it. And we end up with chaos if we don't think that way. And the president is very interested in thinking about America first and defending America. Well, I'll tell you what, it's best to defend America without an imperialistic type of military. And that is what would make America safe. It would make us much safer financially. It would make us much safer militarily. And there would be a lot less Al-Qaeda and ISIS individuals trying to kill Americans if we did a lot more to defend our country and not pretend that we know what government should be in each country and participating in the coups that have gone on and pretending that we're spreading democracy and American exceptionalism. That just is not true. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today to the Liberty Report. Please come back soon.